broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is a special live edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can call in your questions on the issue of origins. As I say so often, how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their lives. If you believe that you're a function of random chance, that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life in a far different way than if you know that you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. The Imago Dei makes all the difference in the world. Again, a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you have questions on the issue of origins, feel free to call in 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. As we've been talking about all month, doubts about Darwin, a new CRI publication of a classic book by Thomas Woodward. It is available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Just a few words about paradigms before we talk to Thomas Woodward. I wrote about this in the foreword to Doubts About Darwin. I point out that it was Thomas Kuhn, the famous philosopher of science, who popularized the concept of paradigms. Paradigms being a way of seeing reality. And what Kuhn ended up showing us is that dominant paradigms or prevailing metanarratives or master stories appear to possess infallibility in their fields. Now, the difficulty, whether for scientists or philosophers, theologians, or even lay people, is that we don't think about our paradigms nearly as much as we think with our paradigms. In subtle, in powerful, and almost imperceptible ways, our paradigms filter and frame our perceptions. And so often they blind us to disconfirming data. So imagine, in the context of paradigms, the intellectual audacity of Dr. Michael Denton. He's the founder of what has become the intelligent design movement when he dared to attack the Darwinian dogma as an empirically empty shell propped up by the sociological forces of a paradigm. And underscoring the towering importance of clash of paradigms, what Thomas Woodward does is underscore what Michael Denton did. He says that the cultural stakes of the Darwinian design debate are enormous, because if any group gains the authority to present its metanarrative as uniquely true and then label other metanarratives as mythological, that group functions as the high priest of our time. And this is precisely what has happened with neo-Darwinian dogma. It is now acting as the priesthood of our times, and the consequences are simply ginormous. And that's why we're so excited about this book, Doubts About Darwin. It is a jewel in the intellectual crown of the intelligent design movement. And we are, again, so pleased to republish a classic that should be a part of every serious Christian thinker's library, and that means you. You can get your copy by simply checking it out on the web at equip.org. The author, Thomas Woodward, now joins me on the broadcast. Thomas, good to have you back with us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Hank. That's a wonderful overview of paradigms. I mean, that's better than I've heard probably from any lecture in my life.
Well, you know, you are a professor at Trinity College. You teach the history of science, communication, systematic theology. You're the founder and director of something very special, the C.S. Lewis Society. And you do lectures in universities on scientific, apologetic, and religious topics. We're talking about a topic right now that has to be the crowning jewel of all topics. I mean, this is the issue, not a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And the foundational nature of this issue, this topic, and especially this proposed solution, if you want to use that term, that dominates. I mean, it's the glue, it's the foundation of the paradigm, the neo-Darwinian paradigm, which is beginning to fracture and fragment in front of our eyes. And we can go into that perhaps. But what I'm really experiencing today is a fulfillment of what I glimpsed when I met Philip Johnson. You know, as you know, you've had him, you know, you featured his work here. And Philip Johnson is fragile in health today, but still strong in spirit. And he saw, almost like a John the Baptist perspective, he saw the coming of this fantastically exciting and almost bizarre moment when the assured results of science, the number one truth you can take home, is the very truth which is crumbling and unraveling, and that is that natural forces have made us, that we literally have only them to thank, and really, of course, that they're blind, uncaring, unintelligent forces, you wouldn't thank them. You're just like, okay, whatever. And so to me, you know, to see all that's happening just in the last 12 months, it's just shocking, and it's all based on what has happened really in the last 25, 30 years with the intelligent design movement, and of course many others helping.
Well, I can't let that pass. You alluded to this on a previous broadcast when we talked, but there are cracks in the edifice of Darwinian evolution. And you said these cracks, these fissures, are becoming more and more predominant, even in the last few weeks.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen what, in effect, is the rescue of an ailing vessel. And I compared Darwinian theory, neo-Darwinism, to not a Titanic freshly launched, but a Titanic which has been cruising the seven seas with much fanfare and you know, many bands playing the waltzes on deck. And now we're seeing the admission that neo-Darwinian theory actually never made the case for the development of new organic creatures, new body plans, new organ systems. I just read that, and Hank, it was in the number one science magazine in the world, Nature. And when you see Nature featuring two opposing sides, and none of these are intelligent design advocates, and one half of them says, oh yeah, evolution needs a massive fundamental rethink, and the others say, oh no, all is well, you know, let the band play on. You know that we've reached a critical point when Nature allows this kind of discussion. And I could go on, but I think that's what we're seeing, is that the pivotal moment of at least scientific history is dawning. It's like the sun is rising on this almost the high noon of all days. And I'm glad that we're on the side of evidence. We're on the side of Scripture, but Scripture lines up massively, I think, at every twist, every turn with evidence.
You know, that's one of the problems that I see, is so many people in the Christian community are not doing science well, nor are they doing theology well. In other words, they don't understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. So often, therefore, they impose on Scripture paradigms that Scripture simply isn't communicating. And then the scientist or the evolutionist or the atheist jumps on that, uses that to discredit the Christian worldview, when in essence we ought to be discrediting the self-evidently false worldview of scientism.
Well, and yes, and I think that's the key right there. You said, you know, scientism, it's this kind of doctrinal, thou shalt not deviate from scientific method in the search for knowledge. Well, you know, as Alvin Plantinga, the famous philosopher, now retired from Notre Dame, I always think it's so funny that the number one Protestant philosopher was stationed at Notre Dame for 30-plus years, and so it had a wonderful mere Christianity flavor to it. But Alvin Plantinga once said that there is this oddity, that you have this moment in time when people are using, you know, scientific methods to try to establish the non-existence of God, when in fact, if you believe, if you embrace naturalism, the doctrine that nature is all that there is, naturalism would never build a creature dedicated to truth. So naturalism cuts the limb off that it sits on. And I just think that it's so important for Christians to just smell, get the scent of the aroma of the brush fire, as people are taking old theories, old ideas, and they're heaping them into their kind of like October, you know, burning of the leaves, a kind of a ritual. Well, the October burning is now a May burning, if you will.
Thomas Woodward, he is the author of an absolutely brilliant book, Doubts About Darwin. It's a history of the intelligent design movement and anything from dull and dry. Certainly not boring, because he's telling stories in this book about true heroes of the faith. He mentioned one of them, Philip Johnson. People who have plowed this field before it became popular to plow the field. And the stories themselves are worth the price of admission. You can get a copy of your personal Doubts About Darwin on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We don't want to go on talking about this issue before we spend just a few moments talking about the heroes of the faith that are the horsemen of this intelligent design movement, willing to follow truth wherever it leads us.
And yes, and I think in addition to Philip Johnson at the top of that, the horsemen of the courageous advocates would be the biochemist at Lehigh University, whose work has earned, I would say, the most recognition, even in the strangest quarters. The New York Times, for example, has even praised, before they began to get the memo, don't say anything nice about Mike Behe. But Dr. Behe, still, as a matter of fact, I spoke with him this week. He's doing well, continues to do fantastic research in this topic of mutations. But his book, Darwin's Black Box, of course, is, and I'm in my view, a mandatory reading, but it was his review of Philip Johnson's work. Darwin on Trial, excuse me. But when Darwin on Trial, Philip Johnson's work came to the attention of Michael Behe, and Behe wrote a positive letter to the very elite American magazine Science, which landed him forthwith into the waters, the boiling waters of opposition. But he wound up becoming friends of Philip Johnson. Of course, that one thing led to another, and pretty soon he had stumbled on the critical line of evidence, little teeny machines in our cells, telltale indicators that none of these very, very complicated and enormously, exquisitely, brilliantly designed machines could have been put together by blind forces, because you need all the parts to make the machine function. And I just asked Dr. Behe this week, how well, in my view, your theory has yet to be challenged. He says, well, I hope to make this known increasingly in the coming months, and something that we cannot yet reveal. But it's very exciting that the challenges to his theory have fallen flat, and there's yet one published, experimentally verified pathway where any of these hundreds of machines could have been built by Darwinian processes. That's good news for the skeptic of Darwin.
Dr. Thomas Woodward, again, his brilliant book, Doubts About Darwin, is available all this month for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. I think of what Sir Julian Huxley said at the Darwinian Centennial Celebration It was the 100th anniversary of the origin of species by means of natural selection when he said, in the evolutionary system of thought, there is no longer need or room for the supernatural. The Earth wasn't created, it evolved. So did all the animals and plants that inhabit it, including our human selves, our mind, our soul, as well as our brain and body. So did religion. Evolutionary man can no longer take refuge from his loneliness by creeping for shelter into the arms of a divinized father figure whom he himself created as the figment of his own imagination. Well, what's the point? Humanity's newfound autonomy sacrificed truth on the altar of subjectivism. Ever wonder where this subjectivism came from? Well, here's a clue. We'll be talking about that and more on the other side of the break, so please don't touch that dial.
According to biologist Michael Denton, Charles Darwin's general theory is still, as it was in Darwin's time, a highly speculative hypothesis, entirely without direct factual support, and very far from that self-evident axiom some of its more aggressive advocates would have us believe. And increasing numbers of evolutionary biologists are now saying that our whole fundamental view of biology needs to change. Receive the book, Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement, as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Did you know that neo-Darwinian evolutionary theory is still, as it was in Darwin's time, a highly speculative hypothesis entirely without factual support? It is certainly not a self-evident axiom. However, philosophical naturalists have an iron grip on Western scientists who indoctrinate millions of students in universities and college campuses with this scientific religion. To equip you in this battle for truth, receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of Intelligent Design by Thomas Woodward, or The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. According to Richard Dawkins, Darwin made it possible to be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. Yet deep in the halls of scientific academia, a debate has been quietly raging between Darwinian macroevolution and the theory of intelligent design. Find out why in Doubts About Darwin, a history of the intelligent design movement by Thomas Woodward. Receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just a couple of program notes. We'll be taking your calls throughout this broadcast today as we're live on air, but also for an hour. Once we go off the air, I'll continue my conversation with Thomas Woodward. You can call in your questions, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You know, the evolutionary system of thought has been credited for expunging the need for God. But in reality, it is merely the repackaging of an age-old deception. I was talking about it just before we went to break, that deception being subjectivism, humanity's newfound autonomy ended up sacrificing truth on the altar of subjectivism. Ethics, morals, no longer determined on the basis of objective standards, but rather by the size and strength of the latest lobby group. And with no enduring reference point, societal norms are quickly being reduced to mere matters of preference. And Thomas, we see that in so many parts of our society. I mean, now we're no longer determining our gender based on biological factors. We're being skewed to the subjectivism of feelings. So this issue, the issue we're talking about, the issue you wrote about in Doubts About Darwin, is a macro issue that frames the societal melees in which we find ourselves today.
Well, and again, I would agree, and I would say it pivots on the loss of a source of truth in the moral realm. Now, some people will cling to, well, we have modernism, we have this scientism, we can find out molecular truth. But when you move out from molecular truth, from the is to the ought, there's a rupture, there's a breakage. You can't derive the you ought to from the molecular basis is this way. And so I think that's exactly where subjectivism is almost destined to grow like a cancer and subvert the very commonsensical things that C.S. Lewis wrote about in Mere Christianity. You know, he presented a more pointed critique of this in The Abolition of Man. He actually wrote it as a theme, as a really important sub-theme of the plot in his science fiction book, That Hideous Strength. And I think that we see that hideous strength, this crazy nightmare attempt to manipulate the world in the name of science and let, you know, values be dictated by a few elite. We see that happening in front of us, but it's almost simultaneously people say, well, I won't even necessarily take any values. I'll just create my own values. And you have a hideous mishmash of chaos and anarchy.
Talking to Thomas Woodward, again, the book Doubts About Darwin, A History of Intelligent Design, must for your library. Get one for your kids. Get one for your school teachers. Check it out on the web at equip.org. One of the key issues, Tom, is the issue of the fossil record. So many people listening in right now might think that the fossil record underscores the evolutionary paradigm. In reality, it undermines the paradigm.
And this is a shock for anyone who has been taught, brought up as Hank, you and I think I hope that I'm not revealing anything that's highly confidential, but I think both of us are there's a certain preciousness of the year 1950. And so a few days ago on my 66th birthday was there in front of 6,700 people in Bangor up in Maine. Can you believe it? 6,700 people gathered to hear. Of course, it was Ravi Zacharias and Lee Strobel that were the powerful draws, but there were three others of us who were plenary speakers. And as I made the case in front of this audience, we had heard that there were about 200 or 300 atheists who had come out to cheer us on, ha-ha. But I was trying to stress in my talk how powerful, and I was even sharing my own shock in high school and college there at Princeton University to understand for the first time as an atheist that the fossil record really, and Darwin wrote about it, his successors in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, Stephen Jay Gould, Niles Eldridge, Stephen Stanley, all the fossil experts in the world will stand up if they're pressed to and say, yes, once a fossil or a type of animal appears in the fossil record, it stays the same. It falls into a rut. It's called stasis. That's the technical term, I believe, coined by Stephen Jay Gould and Niles Eldridge. But that's headline news. I mean, who is talking about that today, especially down at the level of the Cambrian rock? And when you find the Cambrian explosion, it wasn't called that in Darwin's day, but when you find out in the 1980s and 90s and now in the 2000s and 2010s, that the Chinese fossil yields are showing jellyfish that look as modern as those swimming in the, you know, in the atolls of the Pacific or the Keys of Florida today. Well, how could that be? Why could these organic systems that they're finding now, they can pick apart and find the actual lineaments of the organic systems, why do they look so shockingly modern at the very dawn of that formal life? Well, that's exactly what you would predict if this was a designed format of biology. It is not in any way, shape, or form what would be predicted by the Darwinian model. So to me, the fossil evidence is just one overwhelming, unending avalanche of evidence for design.
And of course, there are stories that you make up when the evidence doesn't fit your paradigm. Mm-hmm. And the story that so often is now being communicated is the story of punctuated equilibrium.
Absolutely, that the animals somehow can kind of, a few of them, you know, a small number of critters get isolated from the main population, and then all of a sudden macro mutations hit them, and wow, in a matter of a couple hundred years, a couple thousand years, they've changed form dramatically. And unfortunately, we never managed to fossilize those intermediates because there's so few of us, and the change happens so fast. It was such a leap of form, and but now we have the new form, and now we can fossilize it. Well, that is what I would call a form of special pleading, you know, like the kid who comes to school and my colleague ate my homework. But the whole point there is that if you have the ability to do a dramatic leap, a sudden jump in organic form, you have to have a genetic mechanism that can pull that off. And that's where I think punctuated equilibrium, the theory of the late Harvard paleontologists, Gould and Niles Eldridge, I think, is still going strong. He may be at the edge of retirement. But anyway, their theory, as detailed in a new book a couple years out, Darwin's Doubt by Stephen Meyer, known to you, of course, Hank, and others as well, there's a whole chapter on punctuated equilibrium. That storytelling theory is even himself descending into a spiral of, you know, being ignored. It just doesn't work anymore.
Talking to Thomas Woodward again, the book's Doubts About Darwin. It's a history of the intelligent design movement. And when we're talking about a history, it's a very interesting history. Intelligent design is simply allowing the facts to speak for themselves, allowing truth to lead wherever it will. And there have been some champions, and those champions, you hear their stories in the book. I think that's one of the most interesting parts of the book, although the book is just fantastic. It's a classic. You should get your copy immediately for your support. We've carefully selected this. We have republished this. It's the CRI edition, Doubts About Darwin. I wrote the foreword to the book. You can get your copy for your support, equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. We'll take some calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Your calls for Thomas Woodward. First up, Philip. He's listening in Columbia, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Philip. You're on with Thomas Woodward.
Thank you, Hank. It's a joy to talk with you, and thank God for your ministry. I have a question regarding the origin of man. I'm communicating with a guy who calls himself an atheist and a skeptic, and I've already challenged him on the fossil record, so he just has told me that DNA proves ancestral, you know, evolution. And I wanted to get your response on that. What he said was that DNA proves beyond all doubt that we have a common ancestry, and he says it's a fact. He goes on to say that bacterial resistance is evidence to evolution. Flu shots wouldn't be here without evolution, and different stuff like that. It's very interesting to talk with him. I'm no expert. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I need some help.
Can I jump in on that? I'd love to just give a reference really quickly to a slender but scintillating, fairly recent book called Science and Human Origins. And you, the producer of that, I mean, the one who's published that is Discovery Institute. It's co-authored by a biochemist. She served at Harvard University before her current post. Ann Gager, Casey Luskin, L-U-S-K-I-N, Douglas Axe, A-X-E. So Gager, Luskin, and Axe have produced this slender bombshell, Science and Human Origins, and I'm just mentioning it because it's the most powerful science-packed book that shows that neo-Darwinian theory or any evolutionary theory is not supported by the fossil or by the DNA evidence. I'll just give you one example. Some people say that the chimps' chromosomes line up so beautifully, and they even say two of the chromosomes in human DNA, actually two of the chimp chromosomes were blended or were kind of fused to form one of our longer chromosomes. There is an entire chapter, or at least half a chapter, explaining why the telltale scar that you would expect to be there in the DNA is not there. Another point. The Y chromosome, which only guys have, the Y chromosome in chimps, which supposedly just, you know, separated from us, common ancestor, maybe 5 to 7 million years back, if you go with their story, the Y chromosome is radically different between humans and chimps. How could that happen? How could such a drastically, you know, A through Z redesign happen in the Y chromosome? And I can give other comparative points, but real quickly, the contention that, you know, the development of resistance in strains of bacteria proves evolution just shows that the person tragically doesn't understand what's going on there, because those bacteria that develop resistance are literally getting an advantage over their sister or brother bacteria by breaking systems. They're messing up. They're literally shattering segments of DNA, and believe it or not, there are special cases when breaking things will give a temporary advantage. If someone's coming into my country, if I blow up the bridges that would allow that invading army to cross into my, let's say, capital city, I'm going to blow those bridges up. So that's a little of an insight there. There's more to this story or the case than appears.
And again, the book Doubts About Darwin, it is the roadmap to answering all of these questions. You can check out your copy for your support all this month, equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll be taking your calls throughout the duration of the program today, as well as after the program. We'll continue taking your calls, answering your questions. The number to dial, you can start dialing right now, 888-ASK-HANK. Back in just a bit with Thomas Woodward.
The best-known evolutionist in the world, Richard Dawkins, claims those who do not believe in evolution are ignorant, stupid, or insane. But as Thomas Woodward shows in his book, Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement, rather than brandishing emotional stereotypes, intelligent design proponents wield reason and empirical science, and unlike many evolutionary theorists, actually follow the scientific evidence wherever it leads. Receive the book, Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement, as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. In China, we can criticize Darwin, but not the government. In America, you can criticize the government, but not Darwin. That's the sobering quip from paleontologist Zhenyuan Chen, contrasting the academic freedoms of China and the United States. It shows how the atheistic religion of philosophical naturalism, with its Darwinian evolutionary origins myth, has an iron grip on countless professors and educators in the U.S. Receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement by Thomas Woodward, or the Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff says, how you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. If you believe you are a function of undirected, purposeless processes, you will live by a different standard than if you know you are created in the image of God. Origins is the key apologetics issue of our time. Receive the Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff as our thank you for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy is a rhetorician of science and rhetorical historian of design. Thomas Woodward insightfully analyzes step by step the critical processes of persuasion that have systematically eroded the misplaced confidence in Darwinian dogma. The book, Doubts About Darwin, available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll be going back to your calls in just a moment. But Tom, one of the things that we need to communicate to people is that evolutionary is rightly dubbed a fairy tale for grown-ups. Maybe even worse, a cruel hoax. The arguments that support evolutionary theory are astonishingly weak.
Well, the arguments of change, macro change, are, in my judgment, after studying this intensively and reading, you know, all the books and articles on both sides for 30 years plus, is that Neo-Darwinism is a mythology that is passing as science. And the Neo-Darwinian mechanisms have been in atrocious condition just from the being checked out as to what they can do in the lab for several decades. And so I think what's really prevented this from getting out is that they don't have a replacement. They're working very, very diligently. A group of scientists called the Extended Evolutionary Synthesis have been garnering a lot of funding now from the Templeton Group, and we'll see what they come up with. Again, their works were already critiqued by Stephen Meyer and his work. But I think that we're at a very kind of a delicate passage from one paradigm into the struggle between design paradigm and some kind of a stoic, you know, mind pervaded in you in the universe, almost like a force be with you worldview that is will be struggling, I think, to replace the Neo-Darwinian paradigm as it crashes and burns.
We are taking your calls. Rob is next in Edmond, Oklahoma. You're on with Thomas Woodward. Hi, Rob.
Hi. Hank, I really appreciate your program. I'm amazed at the insights you have to everything. I have a question for Thomas. If I understand evolution, well, first of all, your statement that life comes from non-life is part of my question, because according to evolutionists, life came from non-life, but yet it takes DNA to reproduce. DNA is very complicated. So the very first time that there was life, did they claim that it had DNA in it, or did it miraculously reproduce without DNA and then that was added later?
Well, that's a very good question. It's excellent. I'll just jump right on the question by really saying that there are various theories that are competing, and it's a time of great discouragement. Like you talk about the slough of despond in Pilgrim's Progress. It's like a deep pit of despair for people that work in this area of chemical evolution or abiogenesis. But in a nutshell, either it's proteins first or DNA first, or the new kid on the block, you know, 20, 25 years ago, is RNA first, that half of a DNA ladder, which can act a little bit like an enzyme sometimes, but it does carry information. The problem with all three of those is that the simplest cell, which you can begin to have this natural selection up and running to then supposedly develop everything else from, we now know, as of a month ago, needs 473 files on the hard drive. We call those genes. Each of those genes that they've been found from Craig Venter's work, just published literally in the last 2 months, each of those genes is important, but they only know the function of two-thirds of them. About 150 of the genes, they don't have the slightest idea what they're doing, but they know they're absolutely essential. So if you need 473 genes, the bilipid layer for the cell, and numerous protein machines running around, if that's your minimum, barely existing life form, how are you going to work your way up? I mean, you need a trillion times a trillion times a trillion miracles. I don't have enough faith to manage the leaps there. I'd rather believe in a creator.
One of the things that we have said so often, Tom, is that Darwinism, and you were elaborating on this earlier in the broadcast, is in much the same condition as Marxism was before its collapse. Mm. And as the Soviet Union collapsed, so too the propped-up corpse of evolution is ready for a final fall. But insiders in the evolutionary community, they know about their theory's desperate condition, but the general public is still in the dark. And I think this is one of the reasons your book is so critical. Doubts about Darwin. People need to read it to recognize that this is a propped up corpse.
I believe that the corpse is propped up, but and I would add to that the robust, the logic based, the empirically testable evidence-based theory that does explain this and shows exactly where you can detect intelligent action in nature, the new design paradigm is ready to step in and answer the questions that neo-Darwinism cannot. And that's where I would say, when people say, well, you know, intelligent design, does that sort of rely just on picking at and criticizing neo-Darwinism? Well, obviously, if neo-Darwinism was in great shape, there wouldn't be no need for a design paradigm. So the neo-Darwinian failure, the massive, catastrophic collapse, we see slow motion collapse in front of us, that is a necessary condition for, but not the whole story. And that's why we're telling the story of the construction, the careful development of the new theory, which can detect design definitively, and then ask the question, who is a designer? And that's where the biblical evidence becomes very decisive.
What was kind of interesting is earlier on, you're answering questions about the bacterial resistance that's so often used as an argument for change over time. But you actually point out that that is the smoking gun evidence for design, as opposed to the idea of non-design.
Okay, in other words, I'm not sure if I'm following your...
So the bacterial resistance is so often used as an argument to show how change over time can explain everything, but you're saying that the DNA actually is the smoking gun evidence for design.
Right. Okay, I'm tuned in. I understand where you're heading. Yes, the DNA is itself an empirically very loud signal. And design looks for telltale signals in the universe and living systems that give manifest indicators, or, you know, again, pointers to the fact that a rational agent has chosen, has stepped in and chosen to create those patterns. And the DNA is not just like a code, it literally is a code. It has not a digital two-letter, like on-off, 0-1, like computer codes. It has a four-letter ATCG. And then the RNA is similar. It also has an AUCG code, four-letter code, and they actually have words, three-letter words. They have punctuation. They have the beginning, like, of a sentence and the period at the end. We call those a start codon and a stop codon. And they have translation. Then they have transcription. I can write, I can copy a page from my C.S. Lewis book, carry it out of the library. The reserve, the library... that holds certain books in reserve will not give me a dirty look as I walk out because I'm carrying a copy. That's exactly what happens in our cell. And so what we see here is just a massive but much, much more high-tech parallel to human advanced systems of communication, of digital storage, and even of what we find in computers. You have the operating system and then you have the data. And that's what you find exactly in the cell, except the cell that carries it off infinitely more efficiently. So I would agree that the smoking gun is really heavily filling the room with the smoke at this point.
We're talking to Thomas Woodward. Again, the book is a must-read. I don't only want you to get this for yourself, but to get this for loved ones. I mean, you have kids in school today who are being sucked into a paradigm without critically evaluating that paradigm. And I think Doubts About Darwin is just so helpful to get you thinking about the intelligent design movement in general and how intelligent design leads in a different direction. It's not simply looking through a paradigm, but it's following truth wherever it leads. It is not being blinded by paradigms, but it's saying, look, I'm willing to take off one pair of glasses and put on another pair of glasses because I'm interested in truth. And when we're talking about truth here, we're not talking about some minimalist idea of truth. We're talking about the macro issues here. This is about the issue of origins. And the minute you buy into the evolutionary paradigm, you buy into the sovereignty of self replacing the sovereignty of God. And then you buy into the consequences of the evolutionary paradigm. Consequences like the sexual revolution. We're reaping the bitter harvest of a sexual revolution. Or even survival of the fittest in the struggle for existence. That has dramatic sociological significance. So again, we're not talking about
a nice issue to discuss. We're talking about an issue of paramount importance. And so when this book, Doubts About Darwin, was available for a republication, we jumped on it. As an institute, we want people to have this book. We want this book to accelerate people's thinking. We want this book to be in the hands of teachers, parents, students. This is an important book on so many different levels. And so it is available all this month for your support of the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. As promised at the beginning of this broadcast, Thomas Woodward is going to stay with me once we go off the live broadcast. He'll be answering your questions. We'll be recording his answers to your questions, as well as my interview as we continue talking about Doubts About Darwin. And we'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So here's what you can do. You can start calling right now. If you're hanging on, please be patient. For those calling in, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember the book available on the web, equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Thanks for your input. Look forward to the next hour. Thomas Woodward, once again, Doubts About Darwin, A History of Intelligent Design, available for your support. We do appreciate those who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We're going to be staying right here for the next hour. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. To understand the public battle over evolution, you must read Doubts About Darwin, A History of the Intelligent Design Movement by Thomas Woodward. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Did you know that neo-Darwinian evolutionary theory is still, as it was in Darwin's time, a highly speculative hypothesis entirely without factual support? It is certainly not a self-evident axiom. However, philosophical naturalists have an iron grip on Western scientists who indoctrinate millions of students in universities and college campuses with this scientific religion. To equip you in this battle for truth, receive Doubts About Darwin, A History of Intelligent Design by Thomas Woodward, or The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff when you support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. Add one or both of these resources to your apologetics arsenal and be ready to offer well-reasoned answers on the single most important apologetics issue of our time. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.